Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Straight Talk with Stan Macklin. So glad to be able to come your way today. And got a good program. Sorry for technical difficulties on my end, but as usual, we thank God for the faithfulness of our production team that can get us right through. We're going to be talking about Black history. This February, as you know, is Black History Month, and not that Black History is only once a month out of the year. It's really every day, but it's a day out of the year, which started in 1976, where we recognize the achievements of African Americans in America. And it's sad to say there's still examples where there's first, when it shouldn't be like that. It should just be this individual has gotten this particular position or started this particular enterprise, but just seem like just the way it is in a dominant society is going to always be a first, such as the first president. The 44th president, that's a first. And so there's going to be first. But we're going to be talking about Black history today at a perspective, which I think is something that is very important to give some perspectives. And I want to talk today about the landings of Negroes at Jamestown from the Dutch and 1619. And this was a tragic day indeed for these 20 Negroes and millions more who would follow to be enslaved in the English colonies of North America. And the United States over the course nearly 2.5 centuries. And we need to talk about this because we don't really talk about the America's original sin and how it originated, but I'm going to do it today. The beginning of 247 years of combined slavery for these people and their descendants. This is a good time to emphasize that the ancestors of African Americans did not voluntarily immigrate to the English colonies of North America or the United States. They were brought here by force, which, as I stated, is America's original sin, which is, by the way, racism, which is that enslaved Africans, and is what it took for this to take place. And we sometimes imagine that the oppressed slave laws were quickly put into full force by greedy landowners in the English colonies of North America. The enslavement of Africans and Indians had been common in Central and South America a century before it was introduced to the English colonies of North America. But in 1619, the first Africans were brought to Jamestown. And as we said, that America was established as a white society upon the near enslavement of one race and the enslavement and kidnap of another. And their status is presumed to have been indentured servitude. But over the course of a few decades, the enslavement of black Africans was established in the individual English colonies of North America, one law at a time and one colony at a time. The clearest view I have of the particular institution of slavery is in the colony of Virginia. During the very early period of Virginia history, black Africans and poor whites shared a similar status. Black and white men and women often worked side by side in the fields. However, anyone who broke their servant's contract was punished. Turn of events leading to the legalized enslavement of black Africans, the fact that Africans could not speak, read, nor write English upon their arrival, Africans had no concept what an indentured servant was, let alone an indentured servant's contract. Well, early colonial court records in Virginia concerning Antonio the Negro, as he was named in 1625 Virginia sentence, he was brought to the colony in 1621. At that time, English and colonial law had not yet defined racial slavery. The census called Antonio a servant. Later, Antonio changed his name to Anthony Johnson, married an African-American servant named Mary, and they had four children. Mary and Anthony became free, and he soon owned some land and cattle. He even engaged indentured servants to work for him. And in 1640, three indentured servants, one black and two white, fled from a Virginia plantation. When caught and returned to their owner, servants had their indentured servanthood extended for 4 years. However, the black servant named John Punch was sentenced to serve his said master or his assigned for the time of his natural life. John Punch's status was changed from an indentured servant to a slave, and it is not difficult to imagine that how rapidly it became an accepted practice to falsely accuse black indentured servants of infractions in order to keep them enslaved for life. But in 1650, Anthony was one of the 400 Africans in the Virginia colony. Along a white settler population of nearly 19,000. In Virginia County, Johnson, where Johnson lived, 20 or so African men and women were free, and 13 of this number owned their own homes. Change loomed in the new future for Africans who were brought to Virginia. In 1661, the enslavement of black Africans was legalized in Virginia, which means that these white plantation owners could own them as property, and it was legal. Traditionally, Englishmen had held the belief that they had the right to enslave non-Christians or captive taken in a just war. Conveniently, Africans and Native Americans fit this definition. But what if these captives learned to speak English and converted to Christianity? Should they be released from bondage and given their freedom? Instead, the status of Africans was not determined by changing their religious faith, but by their unchangeable skin color. Also, when freed black servants were perceived as a threat to the property-owning white elite, the establishment government placed restrictions on available lands, thus created a general unrest among all newly freed indentured servants. In 1670, freed working class men rebelled, burned Jamestown to the ground. Bacon's Rebellion, it was called. This made indentured servants took less attractive to Virginia's ruling class. Also, indentured servants were entitled to move on once indentured obligations were filled. However, the replacement of indentured servants was continual and costly for plantation owners. It was expected to enslave black Africans for life because Africans were easily identified by their black skin color. It was even extra to legalize enslavement of black children. Ironically, the first English colony in North America to legalize the enslavement of black Africans was Massachusetts in 1641, but laws were soon passed to legalize slavery in the other English colonies as well. In 1662, Virginia legalized the enslavement of all black Africans, all children born to enslaved mothers were the property of the slave mother's owner, and the condition of enslavement was passed down from generation to generation, plantation to plantation, posterity. In 1705, Virginia declared that all servants imported and brought into this colony, this county, were not Christians in their native county, shall be slaves. Negroes, mulattoes, and Indians shall be held to be real estate, property. English suppliers responded to the increasing demands for slaves in the English colonies in the North America because of the production and development of tobacco and cotton. In 1672, English officially entered the slave trade when the King of England chartered the Royal African Company, encouraging it to expand the British slave trade. And in 1698, the English Parliament ruled that any British subject could be licensed to practice in the African slave trade, which became a very lucrative enterprise at the cost of human development and misery for labor. During the first 50 years of the 18th century, the number of Africans brought to British colonies on British ships rose from 5,000 to 45,000 a year. England surpassed Portugal and Spain to become the largest trafficker in the African slave trade. In the 1700s, when newly arrived slaves were being taken to the slave market at Jamestown, it was not uncommon for them to witness a slave hanging by a hook. The sight of a hook in the body of an African sent the message in the strongest possible way that we don't tolerate any form of nonsense or disobedience. Slave owners were not joking, and enslaved Africans filmed seriously. The term lynching is said to have derived from Charles Lynch, a slave owner at Lynchburg, Virginia, during the latter part of the 1600s and early part of the 1700s. It is reported that during that period of colonial history, Charles Lynch and other Virginia planters were driving themselves into bankruptcy by torturing and killing so many Africans in their attempts to force Africans to submit to the brutal, wicked aspects of slavery. William Lynch, Willie, a brother of Charles Lynch, who owned a plantation on the Isles of Barbados, West Indies, was invited to come to Jamestown. He advised slave owners about his methods of controlling the slaves. This is how you do it. In a speech called Willie's Advice Speech, delivered on the banks of James River in 1712, he said, "Gentlemen, greet you here on the banks of the James River in the year of our Lord 1712. First, I shall thank you, the gentlemen of the colony of Virginia, for bringing me here. I'm here to help you solve some of your problems with your slaves. Your invitation reached me on my modest plantation in the West Indies, where I have experimented with some of the newest and still the oldest methods of controlling slaves. Ancient Rome would envy us if my program were implemented. As our boat sailed south on the James River, named for our industrialist king, whose version in the Bible we cherish, I saw enough to know that your problem is not unique. While Rome used cords of wood as crosses for standing human bodies along its highways in great numbers, you are here using the tree and the rope on occasion. However, as I was coming, I caught the whiff of a dead slave hanging from a tree a couple of miles back. You're not only losing a valuable stock of by hangings, you are having back. You are not only losing your valuable stock by hangings, you are having uprising. Slaves are also running away. Your crops are sometimes left in the fields too long for profit. You suffer occasional fires, and your animals are often killed. Gentlemen, you know what your problems are. You know what they are. I do not need to elaborate. I'm not here to enumerate your problems. I'm here to introduce you to a method of solving them. In my bag here, I have a foolproof method for controlling your black slaves. I guarantee every one of you that if installed correctly, it will control the slaves for at least 300 years. My method is simple. Any member of your family or your overseers can use it. I have outlined a number of differences along the slaves, and I take these differences and make them bigger. I use fear, distrust, and envy for control purposes. These methods have worked on my modest plantation in the West Indies, and it will work also for you right here in the colonies. Take this simple little list of differences and think about them. But my list is age, but it is there only because it starts with an A. The second is color or shade. There is intelligence, size, sex, size of plantation, status on plantation, attitude of owner, whether the slave lives in the valley, on the hill, east, west, north, south, have fine hair, coarse hair, or is tall or short. Now that you have the list of differences, I shall give you an outline of action. This is what you do. But before that, I shall assure you that distrust is stronger than trust, and envy is stronger than adulation, respect, or admiration. The black slave, after receiving this indoctrination, should carry on and will become a self-refueling and self-generating for hundreds of years, maybe thousands. Don't forget you must pitch the old black male versus the young black male, and the young black male against the old black male. You must use the dark-skinned slaves versus the light-skinned slaves, and the light-skinned slaves versus the dark-skinned slaves. You must use the female versus the male, and the male to female. You must also have your white servants and overseers distrust all blacks. But it is necessary that your slaves trust and depend on you, their owner. They must love you, respect, and trust only their master. Master is key. Gentlemen, these kits are your keys to control. Use them. Have your wives and children use them from generation to generation. Never miss an opportunity. If used intensely for 1 year, the slaves themselves will remain perpetually distrustful. Thank you, gentlemen. Sincerely, I speak to you today. Yes, Willie Lynch. This here comes from the Afro-American newspaper. So, my brothers, there it is. That's how it happened. Africans who happened to be forcefully brought here to America, and Africans who are now born here in America. This is the history concerning the landing of Negroes at Jamestown from a Dutch in ship in 1619. This has been Stan Macklin with Straight Talk. I don't care what you're going through. Don't allow anything to discourage you. Remember, it's not the outlook, but it's the uplook that's going to carry you through. And remember, don't give up, but have a good day. And remember that everything is going to be all right.